Here we go again. It seems our recent sets of readings for Evensong have been weighted to the weird and wonderful world of visions and dreams, with an awful lot of eyes involved, it seems. The image-laden writings of what is known in the theological world as apocalyptic literature. It was just a couple of weeks back that I was musing a little on the passage from Revelation that we had then before moving on to the striking story of Elijah and Elisha. And I said, and I'll say it again, it's great, but don't try to derive too much theology from it. So with both these readings tonight from Ezekiel and Revelation, the imagery, the feel of them is striking and mind-blowing, non-literal, fantastical. Please don't try and literalize them. Don't try and get too much practical advice from them or predictions of an actual future. There is a whole industry in the evangelical fundamentalist subculture world of trying to literalize this to create a fantasy of how the end of the world is to come about. Not only does this make an obscene amount of money, as it plays into people's insecurities about whether they're saved properly or not, it is also rich fodder for entertainment. See the Left Behind series, or don't. Or even the secular interpretation of the Omen series of movies. This is at best pure fiction and entertainment, and at worst, an attempt to scare people into a particular way of believing and a particular culture of a fear of hell. But the passages that we read this evening are not meant to be that. There are a number of theories as to why we have this literature as part of our scriptural canon. And I'm discounting here the one from Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, which involved funny mushrooms. One is that they were veiled critiques of empire, told in fantastical language so the authors would not be punished by the authorities for writing critically against their rulers. Another theory is that these are fairy tales of hope for a persecuted people, offering them in the form of a story, a glimpse of justice, of the power and majesty of the divine, of a time when all will be made well and all will be gathered around the throne to be rewarded for their faithfulness. Yet another interpretation is that they are exactly what they seem to be, visions, dreams, kind of lucid hallucinations, which are given to expand the mind, expand the imagination, and remind us that the divine, the transcendent, the beyond cannot be contained, cannot be rationalized, cannot be limited by human words or a lack of imagination. The truth is that we do not know. And if there is some kind of interpretive key to unlock the images or to understand the reasons behind particular parts of these visions, then those keys were lost a long time ago. And if we add to that that our worldview has contracted to a post-enlightenment, for want of a better term, post-age of reason scientism-based worldview that tends to literalize and bounds everything within a narrow view of reason, then we will find it hard to grasp that these visions were exactly that, visions. For me, these visions are an opportunity to transcend the everyday and a reminder that some things do not make sense. In a world where we are confronted constantly with sadness and inequality, these visions can take us out of ourselves, out of the heads that we rattle around inside 24 hours a day. They speak to the heart. They speak of hope. They speak of wonder. They speak to the imagination. It's the same reason I love this service of Evensong. If I took much of the language literally, it really doesn't speak to where I am. I am not an Elizabethan, pre-rational believer. But if I recognize that in the words and in the beauty of the music and the offering of music led by our choristers and musicians, then there is an opportunity to transcend this moment, not to be bound by this particular way of seeing and thinking and believing. If I allow this worship to take me out of myself and to encounter the divine and my siblings here in a different way, then I can find myself becoming more than just this time and place, in order that when I go from here into the everyday, the mundane, or the hurtful, when I go from here to continue the work of compassion and justice and hope and peace and love, I can take with me something of that vision of the more, the beyond, to sustain me, to quiet my turbulent mind, to give me a hope beyond words, a hope deeper than just wanting things to get better, a hope rooted in this world but reaching for the divine in the ordinary, by giving me a glimpse of the divine in transcendence. Thanks be to God.